There we are. And so, it's well known that I'm not an easy man to get into a room for dinner. Actually, I'm a very easy man to get into a room for dinner once you don't ask me awkward questions. But if you ask me awkward questions, you know, everyone is going to leave that room with indigestion. That definitely has put a slump into my social calendar. And hopefully what I'm going to say this morning doesn't even slump it more. I don't know how you feel about this, and everyone has a different reaction. Some of this you will be able to identify with partially. Some of you may not be able to identify with any of it. Or some of you may say, actually, it's close enough to where I'm at. Is that all right? And so there we go. Reunions. I don't know how you feel about reunions. Especially, I get invited different times to Christian reunions. I dislike reunions. I really do. And you might ask is, why that? Because I'm a sociable, outgoing person. The reason why I dislike Christian unions is what is attached to it. And in my perception, which you're free to disagree with, there's a great deal of pretense in Christian reunions. And yet, you're meeting people, and you're looking forward to meeting people, and I would be. So there's no trouble with that. You're actually looking forward to it. Though maybe one or two of you might be, you know, saying, I could leave it or take it, or take it or leave it. But anyway, you're looking forward to it, and you get there. And after a while, you discover something is actually missing. No, it can happen in the club, it can happen anywhere. But after a while, sometimes it's instant. You wouldn't be in there 5 minutes and you can pick it up. Sometimes it's a bit longer, isn't it? And then you discover something actually is missing. And you're asking the question, am I the only one here that is sensing this? And the answer is, no, you're not. Of course you're not. But we dare not mention it. Which, of course, is madness. And so what we do then is, though we know something is not right, something is missing, we won't mention it. And so we adopt the concept of the elephant in the room. Which means, as we all know, there's something wrong, but we'll all politely ignore it. And what we have to do in that situation then, we have to adopt a new strategy, and the new strategy called is surface conversations. You're asking the questions, actually, the answers are not that important at all. What are you up to? How are things going? Now, all of you have been at something like that, where that has happened. Maybe not all of you, but you have sensed it. That's the reason why I struggle with that. Now, on the other side of that are people who love to meet up with people to catch up, in inverted commas. Now, I've met many people who have said to me, they love meeting people and catch up. Oh, I met so-and-so, so-and-so, and we had a chat and we caught up on where things are at. And I think people are genuine about that. I have no issue with that. But I don't like the concept of catching up. And it's nothing got to do with the people. But the catching up and going to reunions highlight three things. Which is that things have changed, or being lost, or simply being discarded. The relationship has changed, or else it has been totally lost, or it has been completely discarded. Reunions can do that. Because once you're getting on with life and you're not in that connecting, you know, you're not even thinking about it. For the most part. But when you're planked in front of a bunch of people that you've had a relationship with, and you had maybe part of the journey of faith with it, and nothing ugly happened or anything like that, just different directions, different paths. And you're put together, and then you discover that it's not the same. So, one of the reasons why I avoid reunions is, first of all, to me, they equal sadness. Because something has changed and something has been lost. Grief, because you can sense it's not the same. And where there has been a bond of deep friendship and that has gone, you feel, what you're feeling there is a sense of loss. And if it was a deep friendship, you could be sensing grief. And the not pretending that everything is okay and ignoring the elephant in the room, the pretense actually makes it worse. For me, don't know about you. So if I get an invite, I would rather say no and deal with the separation than attend the reunion and having to pretend it's great to meet up. So reunions equals grief to me. It may not do that for you. Maybe you're very happy to meet and you enjoy the conversation. For me, it's much deeper than that. I don't know if you can identify with that up to a point. I'm sure you can. So Christian reunions, what we want to do is address that elephant that's in the room. Because once it's there and it's pretense and it goes no further, the thing can go no further. So the question really is, what's the pretense? What is the actual elephant that is in that room? Well, again, many things can cause it, but for the sake of time and convenience this morning, we'll just look at a few verses and see if you can pick up at least one cause of why this elephant is in this room and nobody is willing to call it. 1 Peter 1:22-24 says, "You were cleansed from your sins when you obeyed the truth. So now you must show sincere love to each other as brothers and sisters. Love each other deeply with all your heart. Why? For you have been born again, but not to a life that will quickly end. Your new life will last forever because it comes from the eternal living word of God." And just to keep the thing in context, the next verse goes on to say, "As Scripture says, people are like grass. Their beauty is like the flower in the field. The grass withers and the flower fades. But the word of the Lord remains forever. And that word is the good news that was preached to you." We're all in the room. There's been no major barony. There has been separation. Lads have gone all directions, right? So nothing ugly has happened. And yet, most of us can sense that something is not the same. Something is missing. And so, and obviously, we, as I've described, what we do is we politely ignore it and try and have a conversation at least. So what is the elephant in the room? There it is. Lack of sincere love. That's the missing ingredient. No, I don't say that in judgment of people, because I'm in the room as well. So I'm as much part of the problem as the next fellow, right? But that's our problem. That is really the problem. Now, who's going to stand up in the middle of a social gathering and say, "Now, brothers and sisters, before we go any further, let's get our ducks in a row here and let's call it for what it really is. We're lacking sincere love here. There's an awful lot of pretending and how she cut in and lovely to see you and all of that. But let's call it for what it is. Lads, we're lacking sincere love." If that happened inside the room, how do you think you'd react? How many people would be looking at their watches and think, "Lads, you know, might be time to go here. This reunion is going to fall apart." But often, what we are missing and what we sense truly is that. The reason why we miss it was because we knew we had it at some stage and we could feel and know the connection. It's not that we're imaginative, we're not imaginative, it was there. You can only miss something if it's not there. So you miss it because something has changed. And that's something, you can define it maybe as, well, I'm not as close as we used to be, you know. We've gone worlds apart, we use different language. But all, it's moving the distance. But often what is lacking is this sincere love. Now, you may disagree with that, and you're free to do so, of course. But that, to me, is what I see lacking a lot of the time. So verse 22, I give you two versions of it. You were cleansed from your sins because you obeyed the truth, so now you must show sincere love to each other as brothers and sisters. Love each other deeply with all your heart. That's a rare commodity. Now, in fairness, that level of love and that level of sincerity is pretty rare. I won't say it's non-existent. But that may describe that you actually do love like that, and if you do, well, we're glad to at least have one person doing it anyway. The Living Bible puts it even plainer, just in case we got confused, right? It says, "Now you can have real love for everyone because your souls have been cleansed from selfishness and hatred when you trust Christ to save you." So you see to it that you really do love each other warmly with all your hearts. Built into us, humanly speaking, is we know when people are fakies. But we don't know how we know, but we do know, don't we? We can sense if people are warm or they're cold towards us. And it hasn't got a blessed thing got to do with the temperature of the room or the temperature outside. Or even if you have a temperature yourself. These are internal things that we can naturally pick up. We know when people are warm towards us, when people are nice towards us and all that, and when people are cold and distant. And all of us have felt those emotions at different times. And maybe if the truth go known, other people have felt that as a result of us. But that's for another time. So here's Peter trying to tell the lads that he's writing to, "Look, lads, you have been changed here. And one of the things that has resulted is you have not the capacity to love and to love deeply, and indeed even to love sincerely." I think that's what he's saying. But that's nothing new to us. And if we're inside the Christian reunion, everyone knows that verse, or verses like it. So it is not lack of knowledge is the problem here, right? It's not lack of know-how. None of that is the problem. Because we've been well-versed, and most of the lads that we connect with in a reunion situation have been well-versed in it too. I think you'd agree with that. So whatever the lack is, it is not lack of knowledge, and it is not lack of know-how. There's still another problem, but they doesn't seem to be the problem. So we move on. So there's our verse again. Love each other deeply with all your heart. Regardless, all of us have encountered this new birth that Peter is talking about. And in this new birth, we are changed from the inside out. And this living world that has been put into us makes us new. And part of making us new is the capacity to love in a way that we didn't have before. So it's not so much about trying to rock it up, because that would never happen. It's been put into us. So it's the outworking of it. So we're at the Christian thing anyway, right? And we're all there, and we haven't named the elephant in the room, right? It's highly unlikely we're going to do that. But what we do have is this. We have niceness and politeness. You're going to get nowhere inside that room if you're not nice and polite. I hate to say that now. But that you have already learned. And if you haven't learned it, take it from me. You have to be nice and polite. But that is not the same as being sincere. You can be nice and polite and be totally insincere. God forbid that you ever did it, but I've skated fairly close to it a few times myself. Because that's what's required of you. Nice and polite. And so you can do that and have a nice polite conversation, but not actually mean that much of what you're saying. Hopefully it's not like that. And see, so people can go around the room and they can have surface conversations. And they're nice and they're polite. And they can ignore the elephant in the room, the lack of sincere, deep love. Something has changed. And they're okay with it. And the truth is, an awful lot of people are okay with it. I think you'd agree with that. It's not the same, but look, it was good to meet up with the lads. I'm saying is, it may have been good to meet up, but it's not good enough. It's not good enough. And I don't say that harshly. It's not good enough. It really isn't. Anyway, niceness and politeness, that happens. And that's the rule of thumb. But you can do all of that and not actually mean it. But let's say that you are nice and polite and you do mean it. And there are people inside that room that will be nice and polite and will mean it. They will. Truthfully, they will. But what you have is what I call fleeting sincerity. Now, fleeting sincerity is they mean it while they're in front of you. Be it for 5 minutes, 5 seconds. But as soon as somebody else comes in, or their eyes caught by somebody else, they're gone. And you know what's gone with them? The sincerity. I meant it while I was in front of you, but out of sight, out of mind. So you have niceness, politeness. Gosh, I'll never be invited to another reunion, will I? And fleeting sincerity. The only saving grace is if you get half decent food. It may make it worth the effort, right? But if it's only finger food, gone. And if parking is a hassle, it's not worth the effort to hold it. So you see where I'm going with it. Fleeting sincerity. Yet, you were cleansed from your sins when you obeyed the truth. So now you may show sincere love to each other as brothers and sisters. Love each other deeply with all your heart. I'll be nice, I'll be polite, and I'll be sincere while I'm in front of you. But once I move on, that's as much as you're going to get. I think that's a very good read of the situation. The question is, should I have gone pitching putting with Martin on Friday morning and avoided this, you know? Anyway. But you see, in all of this, what is actually sadly lacking is this sincere, deep love. And the sadness is, it's there for the taking. It is part of what the Lord gives to us for each other and to each other. It's not we're trying to work it up. It's already built into the situation. It's just we float around between the flesh and the spirit, so to speak, and we settle for niceness and politeness. And I suppose, in fairness, fleeting sincerity is better than an insult. But I don't know. I think the pretense is the killer, you know. And yet, what everyone is missing, or most people is missing, is the sincere, deep love. You see, where there is sincere, deep love, everybody wins. Everybody wins. We all get something. Lads are built up. And they can keep them going for a good length. And even when you're out of sight and out of mind, so to speak, if the love is sincere, you can still, well, I can anyway, tap into it. They may not be in front of me, but I know I matter to them. Something about that is very powerful. So, try and understand it as best I could. In the context, right? And then mom is finished. This is from the Living Bible. This is for children. So I thought we'd give it as basic as we can get, right? So we know verse 22. Now you can have real love for everyone because your souls have been cleansed from selfishness and hatred when you trusted Christ to save you. So there's two problems that causes hassle in relationships. Sorted. We'll move on. So see to it that you do really love each other warmly with all your hearts. For you have a new life. It was not passed on to you from your parents, for the life they gave you will fade away. And I'm a classic example of it. This new one will last forever, for it comes from Christ, God's ever-living message to men. So whatever he's saying is, something has been put into us by God that gives us the capacity to love. That's what he's saying. And it's going to go on forever. No matter what way you go, here, that's good news. Sincere love is coming one way or the other. And then the last part of it says this. Yes, our natural lives will fade as the grass does when it becomes all brown and dry. All our greatness is like a flower that droops and fails, or in this case, falls. And here's the message of the good news that was preached to you. God has put in the capacity into me that wasn't in me to love, and to love sincerely, and to love deeply. And it was implanted in by his word, by his spirit, and I can do it. And so can you. And it works a treat when we all make some halfway decent attempt. But pretending is going to get us nowhere. All right, almost finished. Do sincere love is built into the new us. I think we'll all agree with that. It's built in there, and by God, with the grace of God, we're delighted to have it. But the question is, why do we lack sincere, deep love? Since it's in there, right? This is collectively now. Why do we lack the sincere, deep love? So we go in and we meet a bunch of lads, and we all are in a meeting, but nobody seems to have it, or it's in short supply. Now, there's many reasons, but let me give you three that I think is common to where we're at. All right? This one you'll agree with. We love knowledge more than we love people. And I'm talking here about Christian knowledge now. People love knowledge, and knowledge is a good thing. But often they love knowledge more than they love people. That is the God's honest truth. So if you have people that love knowledge more than they love people, and you've more inside in the same room, all that's going to be is arguments and puffing up. Well, I read that. I read this. I disagree with this fella, I disagree with that fella. I thought this was very insightful. That's a common fault. I think you'd agree with that. Another reason, in my humble observations, is this. We choose to love and follow God as individuals and not as the corporate body. There's an awful lot of that happening around the place. No, I don't say that as a judgment. I'm just saying it as an observation. We're not like the books of Judges, like everyone is following God as he sees best in his own eyes. So if you follow God as an individual, you know, the chances of having sincere, deep love is fairly slim. You're going to be extremely knowledgeable. But there's an awful lot of that around. And if anything, it's increasing instead of decreasing. And a third reason that I could come up with was simply this. Sincere love is seen as an optional extra. That's why nobody's going to mention that inside the room. And it's seen as an optional extra and not as the ultimate expression of real Christianity. Put a group of God's people and put me in the middle of it in a Christian union, and we're abiding by those three principles of those three bullet points. What are our chances of deep, sincere love, giving and receiving towards each other? Pretty slim. And the problem is not that the love is not there. Oh, it's in there. It's a God thing. But it's getting blocked. But I'll finish on the positive. So why do we choose one over the other? We're mad. Absolute mad, right? We love knowledge more than we love people. You know what the Lord say? Love both. Why can't you just love both? I'm delighted that you read books and discover more about me and who I am, and it's helping you to understand me. I am thrilled with that. Of course he is. And I'm also thrilled if you're loving people. So it's not an either or, can actually do both. But we make it one or the other, don't we? We choose to love God and follow him as individuals and not as a corporate body. The Lord wants it both ways. He wants it both ways. He's delighted if you go up and spend time with him, you and him and his own. And he is delighted when you do it together as a corporate, whatever that looks like. So it's not either or, it's actually both. Both can actually get done. Both can get done and still be fine. So we're not being robbed of anything. Actually, it's just our perception of it is often wrong. And then sincere love as the optional extra. We have no excuse. It's very hard to turn a few pages of scripture of where that principle doesn't come up somewhere. Ultimately, loving your neighbor is the ultimate expression of obeying the law. If I want to put it in the simplest way you can. Or how can you say you love God if you're not willing to love the fellow in front of you who's driving you half crazy? So I think all those 3 points about we choosing has all got to do with one thing. It's called time. I don't have time for both. So I have to make something a priority. Does that make sense? Often it comes down to time. It needn't be like that, because actually we'd be more productive if we did the thing in balance. We would be. We'd be more knowledgeable, we'd be more loving. And the guess thing is, this is what heaven's going to be like eventually anyway. We'll grow in knowledge and we're going to grow in love, and it'll be deep, sincere love. So how do you finish it off, Pat? It began with the Christian reunion. And I asked, have you been where you knew something was missing? But we all pretended otherwise. Or we didn't highlight it. That wall of pretense has to go in some way. Unless that wall goes, we're never going to get a bit one step further. Wall of pretense has to go, so for deep, sincere love to shine through. Can you see then why pretense and politeness and fleeting sincerity is so damaging? Because it'll rob you, it will rob me of the very thing that we want the most. Deep, sincere love.